Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jenny.
Let's get started. Woo! Episode 21, Swept Away, air date February 16th, 1994. This is a Valentine's Day episode almost.
And boy, do we have a doozy on our hands.
One of the best ones.
Woo! This one was good.
Real good.
Well, let's dive in, shall we? The pretty lady, the boat that Reed is captaining, is on the water. And Reed is at the helm. There is a shot of the trapdoor, and we see that Joe is still tied up, duct tape on her mouth, and she's kicking the door.
There's danger music with seagulls, and like Reed is just yelling down into the trapdoor, "You're gonna wear yourself out, Joe." And she's kicking very terribly. Like, she's on her back and she's trying to kick the door, but like she doesn't have enough force. Because her back, the way she's lying, doesn't actually give her enough power to actually kick through.
It kind of looks like she's doing a Jane Fonda exercise routine.
Yeah, it's no good.
So he's like, "Look, Joe."
But I will say that door doesn't look that secure. Like you could just elbow it up and just.
Yeah, it does look a little rickety.
Yeah.
So Reed is like, "Look, Joe, I'm dealing with big guys, and you don't get second chances with them. So the rendezvous is tonight. Sit tight. It's not going to be much longer."
And he's trying to make it seem like it's her fault that she's down there.
Well, it kind of is.
Is it?
She went snooping around. She found the stash. Had she not done that, everything would have been fine. He could have continued to live the lie and did the little rendezvous that evening like he did before when he's going to like drop the drugs off to the distributor.
Yeah. So now we go to New York.
And we know this because there's continuous sirens and horn honking in the background.
And Billy, he doesn't match at all in this scene.
Yeah, you'd think he would want to make a good impression.
Oh, it's
to the new people in New York, but no.
Like Billy rarely matches, but this time it is horrendously bad.
So his little buddy Greg is around, and he's like, "I want details. I've been calling Andrea, and I haven't heard back. What happened? Like, how did your date go?"
He's like, "Let me guess. Did you seal the deal? You sealed the deal, didn't you?" And Billy's like, "No, I blew the deal."
And he pretty much is like, "My girlfriend showed up. It was terrible." And he snaps at Greg, rightfully so. I mean, yeah. I am still thinking that Greg may be in some sort of like prostitution ring where if like he seals the deal, he's got to like blackmail Billy. I have no idea. But
yeah.
It seems very strange that he is this invested in Billy's sexual life.
Greg changes his tune and he's like, "Is there anything that I can do to help?" And Billy's just like, "Yeah, butt out."
And then
storms out.
And Greg's like, "So much for California laid back."
Yeah. And then Billy just like slams the door behind him. And it's Billy's office, though.
Yeah, why are you storming out of your own office?
and slamming it so like Greg has to stay in your office? It's very strange.
Billy's a strange guy. Next up, we go to the hospital with Michael and Matt. And apparently, Sydney has sent them both an invitation to meet for dinner.
And Matt is freaking out. He's like, "She knows, Michael. I should have never listened to you. That's my one one regret in my entire life.
And Michael's like, don't you put this on me. If she smells weakness, she'll extort the hell out of us. Just leave this little shrew to me. And when I'm finished with her, she's going to wish she died in that accident.
And we, didn't get that.
Wait, what? She was in an accident? We thought that only Kimberly was in an accident.
Yeah, we paused it and like it puzzled us. We're like, because there was some weird voiceover in this scene too. So we were like, this doesn't match up at all. Why was this line used? And I guess we broke it down to that he's saying that Sydney will wish that she died instead of Kimberly.
But it still doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
If anybody understands what the heck Michael was trying to convey, let us know, because we have no idea how this ties in. But we leave this scene knowing that Matt is panicked and Michael is going on the defensive.
Yep.
So Billy's on the streets of New York. He's buying papers and he turns around and amazingly, Allison is just standing there right on the street.
Yeah, and she, what was she there all night?
No, she goes
all day?
Yeah, so she says, "Yeah, I got all the way to the airport and I got on the flight and then I got off the flight before it took off because I knew in my heart that there had to be an explanation. I know I got the wrong idea." And Billy's like, "Oh yeah, sure. It's a perfectly understandable mistake."
And that took her. So let's break this down. So at night, she goes to Billy's and sees Andrea break up.
Right.
That's in the evening.
Then she goes directly to the airport and probably tries to get the very next flight.
Right.
Maybe she had to get the one in the morning because it's kind of late. I mean, Billy and Andrea had already gone on their dinner. They're back at his place for drinks.
Yeah.
So we can assume that's what, like 10 p.m. ish?
So she tries to get on another flight that night.
And let's say if she's lucky, she got to the airport at 11 to 11:30. Mm-hmm. Then she's got to go. I don't know if you can even go to a ticket counter or if you have to go through a travel agent at that time.
Yeah.
But let's just say she couldn't get a flight until the very next day, maybe at like 5:30 or 6 a.m.
Right.
So we can assume she may have slept in the airport, then got on this flight, sat in her seat.
Then got off.
And then went
then freaked out and been like, I need to get off. And then gets off. And then 8 hours go by because Billy's off of work. And this is at night again.
Yeah. She's just, and she does say that she went to a hot dog place and like ate her hot dog. And then everyone was like looking at her weird. And she thought, okay, I have to get out. So she's basically just been standing in front of Billy's apartment.
Look, she hung out at a bagel joint.
Oh, that's what I meant.
And then I wrote, all day in caps, question mark?
No, she said that they gave her weird looks after she ate her bagel, so she had to leave. But then you've got to think like, okay, Allison.
Catch a movie.
Yeah, go do some sightseeing. You're in New York.
Go see a show.
You know Billy's not going to be out until 5 or 6, but apparently she just stood in front of Billy's apartment complex. And we know she can get into the apartment complex. Maybe she can't get into Billy's apartment, but she could get out of the elements because they establish it's cold every time they go to New York by showing people bundled up and Billy's like shivering like, oh, I gotta put my jacket up. It's just freaking weird. This whole scenario is like, it makes me think Allison is a psycho.
She is. She's had her run with Keith and Steve. So Allison and Billy go back to Billy's new freaking pimp house.
But is it? Because this is my first inclination that it may not be as awesome as we thought it was. He walks in and the couch is actually a pullout couch. So I guess that he was like, it doesn't have a bedroom or a bed, that he was having to sleep on the pullout.
Well, if he didn't get a if he didn't get a phone yet, he probably hasn't got a bed.
I don't know. It looked really furnished to me. So Billy is like, I hate this town. The phone calls, the messages. And Allison is like, I hate it too. And I miss that smile. I miss a lot of things.
And he's like, go on.
Okay. So then she says, I miss a lot of things. Your lips and everything south.
Ew.
Oh, God. I almost threw up in my mouth. Yeah,
chunks.
And then she goes.
There's a beat. He's, like, looking at her. She's looking at him, and she just goes, "Make love to me, Billy."
Oh, God.
Make love to me.
Watching this, it's like. You want to just die.
And anytime Billy is in like a sexy scene, I always think of when Amanda was like, and Billy just can't make, he's so sporadic. Or she says like, he can't make, he's so indecisive. So I just imagine him having sex like, touch a boob, kiss her lips, grab her leg, grab her butt, kiss her neck now. And he's just like, I'm just trying to make love as best as I can.
Ew. It's just gross. Whenever they hook up, I get cringy. Oh, I just hate them together.
Well, it's because they're disgusting.
So they're making out. They're getting busy on the pull-out couch.
Yucky.
And we leave them, and we go to Sydney and Michael, and they're at dinner.
Right.
But and Matt's not there.
Yeah, this was another point.
Were you, like, I was under the impression that they both got invited. They were both going to go.
Yep. They both got letters. They both got letters to go, and Michael was basically like, don't worry, I got this. And I guess
that
maybe that's what they VO'd over was Michael saying, like,
don't go,
I'll go.
I don't know.
Because Matt is just not present. And so, maybe he is. He's just watching the cars. Like, Matt, stay outside.
So we kick this convo off with Michael saying, admit it, you don't have a single shred of evidence, which is like, don't admit guilt. Michael, she's got nothing on you other than you mumbling some weird things while you were knocked out.
No, not mumbling things. He mumbled the entire sequence of events.
Oh, please, Matt, change my blood alcohol type. Ooh. Oh, killed Kimberly in the car accident.
I was drunk. January 17th. Matt, you have authority.
No one can know. But, I mean, still, if that's the evidence that she has, it's like, I would just say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But then Sydney has an interesting bit. She raises she raises the stakes, and she's like, oh, you know what? What about the waiter from that night? I talked to him. He counted 2 bottles of champagne, all this stuff, all this liquor. And I'm thinking, damn, they did drink a lot.
Yeah, she's like, he counted 2 drinks apiece and then 2 bottles of champagne that you basically drink on your own. So she does have that. And she's like, there's your witness. Because at first, she says, Michael, if I bring this out in the open, Matt is going to sing like a bird. He's not going to keep this in. And then you can see that Michael's already like playing one step ahead. He's like, yeah, it'll be his word against yours. And I'm just going to pretend that he has some homoerotic crush on me and that he's making everything up. And like you can see the devious mind of Michael.
And I passed off his sexual advances.
No problem. It's like he's already thought that far ahead and gotten that much more devious and evil about how he could ruin Matt.
Here's the hole in this entire string of events. After the crash, wouldn't all of this have already been investigated?
Yeah.
You know, like they would have looked at the crash. They would have seen where they were going. They would have gone to the whomever would have investigated.
Well,
I think
it would hinge on his blood results, right? Because if they came back that he didn't have any alcohol in his system, then they wouldn't have any need to go to the restaurant and interview the witnesses.
Well, somebody knows his BAC other than Matt because it was already in the computer.
It was logged. That is right.
Yeah.
I did not think of that.
Somebody else definitely knows.
No, you're totally right.
Yeah.
And then that person is probably like, why does he still work here?
This motherfucker's on his administrative leave. That's it?
He didn't get arrested?
Yeah.
That girl died.
He was clearly a 3.0.
That's a great point. Yeah. I never thought somebody had to have known it in order to log it into the computer.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the hole in this entire thing.
It really is.
But I think it would have already, I think even the waiter restaurant thing that Sydney's talking about would have already been investigated as well, because someone already took the BAC and put it in the computer.
Yeah, that's right. So after Sydney brings up the whole deal with the waiter, she's like, there's your witness, Michael. And then he's just sitting there seething. And she's like, what? No witty retort? And he says to her, kiss my ass, Sydney, and gets up and leaves. And you can see that Sydney is just very pleased with herself, and the plan is going to plan.
Yeah, Sydney does, at this moment, have the one up on Michael.
Yeah.
Now we go back to Billy's place, and he is in the most childish blanket I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, they're laying on the pull-out couch, and
like, after he has sex, he just rolls up in this blanket, like, I gotta get in my jammies. Time for cartoons.
Stop. And Billy picks up the phone, and he's talking to someone on the other end, and Allison is like, what are you up to? And Billy's like, oh, I'm having Jake box up all of your stuff and ship it out here, so it will be here on Friday.
And if I was Allison, I would fuck his shit up right then, like, and there.
She's like, what on earth are you talking about?
I would straight up punch him in the face.
I'm here for a visit, okay? You pick up the phone and move me out here like you're ordering a pizza. And she has a point. It's like, never did they agree that she was going to move out. They made up. They decided they wanted to stay together, and both acknowledged that they didn't like the situation, but for some reason,
Billy just assumed.
Billy's like, oh, that means she's moving here.
He's getting all your stuff.
And he's oblivious.
He is an idiot.
He's oblivious that that Allison would have an issue with this. So she freaks out, and it's like, this is a wrap.
So she's very upset, and Billy can't seem to understand that what he just did was wrong.
Yeah. And very shockingly, a couple things. Billy knows Jake's number by heart.
Well, back in the 90s, everyone knew their numbers by heart.
Yeah.
I did. I could probably name like my top like 8 to 10 friends that I would call all the time. Like, I knew all of their numbers.
Yeah. And Allison isn't like, call Jake back, you know? And how does Jake have access to their apartment? I guess, yeah, to Amanda.
Wouldn't the Mancinis? Well, I don't even know. This has never been established that Michael and Jane stopped becoming the property managers.
Yes, it has. Amanda owns the building.
Yeah, I guess guess that role stopped when Amanda bought it.
Yeah. And Mancini was out, and Jane was like, I can't fucking do this. Mr. K, go shove it.
I guess I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, Amanda owns the joint. So I guess that's how Jake could get into their apartment, through Amanda. But still, you can't just go moving people's stuff without their consent.
Right. So we're back on the pretty lady, and the boat is in the middle of the ocean. We're back in the crawl space with Joe. She's tied up, but we hear the commotion going out on outside.
Hey, throw it over. Andale. Andale.
Let's get out of here. Cut the lights. Come on.
Arriba.
And so it's very suspect.
It's just generic drug deal.
Yeah.
Hey, andale.
And they decided to use like Hispanic people, I guess, to show that they're going across borders. And then Reed comes over and he gets Joe out of the crawl space. And he's like, come on, baby. And then it's almost like all of this didn't happen.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to pull your gag off. But it's not a gag. It's a piece of duct tape.
Yeah. And he's like, you can scream and no one will hear you. And then he's like, no one could see you because I didn't want to take any chances. This is a really dangerous business.
And he like opens his duffel bag and pulls out this wad of cash. And he's like, see why I didn't want to take any chances.
And then when he takes Joe's gag off, he tells her that she can scream, and she just looks at him and says, "Are you going to kill me?"
"It's up to you, Joe."
Oh!
This is the first time that, like, for real, somebody's life is in danger.
I mean, when Allison got carjacked, I was really, really afraid for her.
Yeah, I guess so. But this is the first time someone's actually been threatened,
like,
with
a direct threat.
Direct threat with murder. Unless you account Abuelo.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like, "I'll kill you, man."
Okay, so we are back to Billy and Allison. We're still mid-fight. And Allison is like, "You expect me to give up my life?" And then Billy says, "I'm smart. I'm good looking. I listen. And you know what? I'm really attractive, okay?"
He says, and he gets like, "I'm a great guy." And Allison's response is amazing. She just looks at him and goes, "Good God." And he says, "I already got a date."
Yeah, he's like, "I've only been in New York for a day, and I've already got a date."
And Jenny, during this scene, she threw up her arms and she was like, "So you did go on a date." That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and it's so true.
Yeah.
And Allison,
she dumped you at first because you went on a date. She
and then
thought
you
it
tried
was a date.
To pretend it wasn't a date, and you were like, "She just came back to my place to see stuff."
Now you're bragging you're on a date. Billy, what's the deal, bro?
So Allison is like, "This is it, Billy." And then he's like, "Well, if you walk out the door, that's it. No more second chances, Allison." Ugh. And she's like, "Goodbye, Billy. Good luck. Have a great life."
And
she's gone.
Like, "Yeah, you too." And that is it. And I was like slow clapping like, "Yes!" They're done.
Please really be broken up this time.
Yeah.
Please.
Be gone.
And please, Billy, just stay in New York.
Yeah, stay in New York. Do your little belly button sweat exercises. Have a nice life at Escapades.
Okay, so we're back with Reed and Joe. And Reed is just like going on and on about how Joe's gonna love Mexico, that they've got plenty of money. And
Reed's an idiot.
Yeah.
This is not how you kidnap people. Okay.
And you have to wonder, too, was this his plan all along? Had Joe not gotten on this boat? Because remember, she basically talked him into letting her go.
Mm-hmm.
Was he just going to go to Mexico and just like peace out?
Yeah, I guess so. And he's just going to be like, "I'm going to be gone. I'm gone for a few days."
Yeah. And like never come back?
No. Well, now that he has her. I'm sure his plans changed, and he was like, "We're going." Fuck
well,
it.
We're getting the impression that they're like moving to Mexico. And they're not going back to L.A.
Reed does what every person dealing with drugs does, and tries to like not assume responsibility for what it is. Like when people drink all the time, they're like, "Oh, I don't drink on the weekends." Or when people smoke,
"I don't drink
like,
on the weekdays."
Yeah, or when people smoke, they're like, "I only smoke when I drink." And Reed is on the same level. He's like, "I'm not a drug pusher, all right?
You've already got your mind made up about me. I'm not selling drugs to kids on the streets.
It's going to get in the country anyway.
I might as well make some money off of it."
But that is such a bullshit stance because you know once the drugs do get in the country, they get distributed to people who will then sell them to kids on the streets.
Yeah.
And also, the war on drugs... And with, like, kids getting it on the street, really? I'm thinking, like, when you say, like, kids, no, I don't think any drug dealer is going to sell drugs to, like, a 7-year-old.
Yeah, when they say kids, Dan, they're talking about, like...
Like teens?
14, 15, 16.
Okay.
I think.
That makes a little more sense. But still, I'd be like, man.
So Joe is like... "How about you just drop me off in San Diego? I won't tell anybody about this." And he's like, "Joe, I can't." So Joe is just like, "So being with me is all part of your con, isn't it? You just wanted to be with me to get the money up front. And now that's it."
And Reed says, like, "I'm out of the game. that was my last big deal.
And he tells her no, that it wasn't a con being with her. It was with Jake and Amanda, but with her, he really, really loved her and now is catching feelings for her.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Reed, like, your whole plan is to go to Mexico, right? How are you going to get past Border Patrol?
Well,
you're going to have to swim up at some point. And someone's going to, like, board, right? Well, and, like, check the boat?
No, you have to assume that Reed has done this before. And, Dan, not necessarily. When you get into international waters, there's no way to patrol like that. And if someone's going to come up to a beach...
There has to be a Coast Guard.
No, well, there are a Coast Guard, yes. But if he has a way to evade them, if he's got, like... I don't know, like radios and radar, and he can, like, I don't know, see where the Coast Guard is. It seems like he's done this before. And if you have a boat and you can come over that way, that there's a way to do this.
Yeah. I guess so.
I think that he knows what he's doing and he's done it before. So he pitches this idea to Joe. He says, let's start over. We'll get a legit boat. We'll start a legit charter company. And Joe is trying to feign interest here. And she's like, look, I'm getting really thirsty. Can I go down and get something to drink? And Reed thinks about this for a moment and then decides, okay, I'm going to give her a little bit of freedom. And is like, yeah, go get me a beer while you're down there.
So Joe goes down to get a beer, and really, she's looking for a gun.
So she's frantically searching through all of the cabinets in the kitchen. She's opening them, slamming them shut. And it's like, if you're looking for a gun, why do you think it's going to be in a kitchen cabinet? But maybe because she's so frazzled. She is so much in shock.
And hasn't she been on this boat long enough to know where it isn't? You know?
That's my thought, but I'm thinking just because she is so distraught, she doesn't really know what to do. And Reed shows up behind her like the ninja that he is and puts the barrel of a gun in her face and goes, looking for this?
And he glares at her.
And Joe plays it off pretty well. She's like, no. And she reaches into the right cabinet and gets two glasses and she's like, I'm looking for these. Yeah. Pretty convincingly.
And then Reed's like, well, I'm going to drink mine out of the can.
Yeah.
And she's just like, okay, whatever, cool.
And
nothing
so,
to see here.
Yeah, he goes back on the deck and everything's cool, so we think.
So we hit the hospital now, and we're in the break room clubhouse, and everyone's sort of huddled up around this cork board. And Michael walks in. He's like, God, this administrator leave is so boring. Wait, what's going on over there? And he walks over, and then everyone else simultaneously leaves that
area. It's very strange. There is probably like five or six people, like workers of the hospital, huddled around this bulletin board. And the minute Michael walks up, without a word, they all turn around and goes out of the room.
And then there's all these newspaper clippings with the core theme of all the newspaper clippings is drunk driving accidents. Like, boy killed, loses legs to drunk driver. Do you remember any headlines?
Oh, yeah. Some of them were like, drunk driver jailed for whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that's the running theme. It's all about drunk drivers. And you've got to wonder, what were his coworkers thinking about this?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Why are these up here?
Like, oh, I guess it's drunk driver day.
Like, it's Mad Week or something. So Michael is very upset because he is now putting it together that the source of these newspaper clippings has to be Sydney.
Yeah, so he rips them all down real quick and balls them all up. Then he angrily goes to his locker, puts in the combination, and I'll give a Melrose Place sticker to any Melrose Place fans who know the combination of that locker. I will mail you one right now. But he opens up the locker and then boom, he's hit with another letter.
Yeah, it's a sign that Sydney has left in his locker and it says, Dear Michael, kiss my ass. Love, Sydney.
And my note here is, Sid is now Keith.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
How does Sid know Michael's locker combination?
Or the
locker? How does she know which locker is his, let alone the combination?
And, I mean, just the access that she has to that break room. The way that Melrose Place characters come in and out of that break room that don't work at the hospital.
Might as well be a McDonald's.
Yeah, they have to have very lax security about who is allowed to go in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that typically the general public isn't allowed to be like, I'm going to hang out with the doctors in the break room.
She just waltzes in and out.
Very weird.
But so, I will say at least they're consistent because Jane used to come in there with chili dogs and candles. And be like, hey.
I'm making a dinner for you.
It's our anniversary, Michael. Can you stop your hospital work?
So Michael is furious. I mean, he is like, I've never seen him this upset.
Yeah, he's pissed. Slams his locker shut.
Just and like.
So let's go to shooters, shall we? Michael basically assaults Sydney, grabs her by the arm, and like. Slams her up against this wall.
So if you're a patron at Shooters and you see a strange man come in and really assault one of the workers there, wouldn't you call the police or get a manager? Yeah.
This is a see something, say something. I mean,
it was like very, it was scary to watch.
He grabbed her. And then he balls up the newspaper clippings and puts them down her shirt.
Yeah, shoves them into her cleavage. And he says, oh, God, fuck. Sorry, I'm like all...
It's okay. He's...
And Sydney's getting the message, and she's kind of amused by this. And she's like, I was careful. No one saw me yet.
He's like, you forget something at the break room, Sid?
And then she flips it on him and she's like, I think you're getting this confused. I am the one who is making demands, Michael, not you. So I want you to apologize for your rude behavior. And she's waiting for the apology and she's like, say it.
And Michael's like, okay, I'm sorry I overreacted. And then he asks her, what exactly do you want?
What are your demands?
Yeah, what are your terms? And she has no idea.
She thinks for a moment and says, I'm going to get back to you on that one. Yeah. Okay. And then she just walks away.
So really, Sid just doesn't even know at this point. She just knows that she wants to torment Michael.
Yeah, by any means necessary.
So we head back to the boat. They're now cordial. Joe and Reed, and they're eating like badass lobster.
And I'm sorry, is a ghost driving the boat? Because have a shot of the wheel just being like steered on its own.
And the motor like revved up.
It's like on auto. I don't know if this is something that you can do on boats. I have no idea.
Maybe it's on autopilot.
Yeah, maybe. And then we go down to the cabin and we see that Joe and Reed are sharing a romantic dinner of lobster.
And where were these lobsters? Are they just catching these things?
I don't know.
You gotta keep those suckers on ice or something.
And does Reed know how to prepare them?
Yeah, they look great.
They do. So Reed is like, remember cutting school? The rush. This is the American dream, Joe. You were scraping by in LA. This is a chance to reinvent ourselves. Let's let go. Let's get swept away. This is the only chance we've got, and we have to take it.
Yeah, it's a tough sell for Reed. It's like, look, like I get it. You want to be rich and you want to like just elope, but you did kick my ass. And lock me in a fucking trap door.
And you know what? I'd be willing to bet that if Reed let this kind of come out little by little, and he was kind of like, well, I am doing something a little bit illegal, and then starts like to really gain her trust more and build that relationship, I bet a few months down the road, Joe would have willingly gone with him.
Yeah, but there's way too much like back and forth. What if Reed... What if Reed just said, like, they started dating. They hooked up. So you have all the previous Reed and Joe. And then he says, I have this boat. I'm on this new venture. I'm going to go take care of that. And I'll be right back. And then he comes back after all of this is complete. And he has like whatever, $250,000, what, $500,000, whatever it is. And says, Joe, let's just get out of here. Let's go to Mexico.
Yeah, I'm sure she would have been like,
down.
You know what? Let's do it.
Yeah, you can take a bunch of shitty photos of coconuts and palm trees.
And we'll start our lives people. Over and you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, I'm sure that she would have been like, I love you, Reed. I'll do anything for you. But the way that he's gone about it is totally insane.
That's terrible.
And during this conversation, Joe notices the radio in the cabin and she starts concocting this idea that
CB radio.
If I can get to the radio, I can call for help.
We cut over to Melrose Place. Jake's banging on Joe's door. Joe, open up. It's Jake.
And of course, no one is answering. Amanda is not happy to see Jake trying to shower this much attention on Joe.
Right. She barks at Jake like, Jake, get down here. She's not there. Let's leave.
And Jake is like, look, she and Reed still have your money. I just want to get it back. But at that moment, Allison comes back from New York and they're confused to see her. And Jake's like, what are you doing back here? First, I get this call from Billy saying to pack up all your stuff. And then I get a call from you saying to forget it. And she's like, yeah, I'm so sorry that you had to get involved. And then Amanda looks at Jake and says, off again.
Off again.
What a bitch.
And then finally, Allison gives it back right back at her. And she's like, oh, save it, Amanda. And she's like, I don't need you. I forget her exact words, but she's basically like, shut the fuck up.
And honestly, too, you've got to think about this. Jake gets a call from somebody that's like, box up all of my stuff. That is a huge huge undertaking.
Not even my stuff.
Yeah.
Box up all of my girlfriend's stuff.
And it's not,
even her underwear.
Honestly, it's like not... this whole plan is so ridiculous. It's not like saying, oh, can you? Do you mind getting an item from our apartment and sending it? It's like, go in there and move everything that Allison has without our assistance or help.
If you need something done and it's like hard work, you're going to ask Jake, because Jake is a hardworking
That's
man.
That's ridiculous. They should be paying Jake a lot of money to do that.
No way. Hates money.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Kidding me? Jake will do it for a sixer.
So we cut to Allison in her apartment. She's looking out the window. Then we cut over to Billy, where we immediately hear sirens and horn honking. Boop, 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 boop. And he's looking out the window. So we establish that they're both forlorn lovers. Saddened by their breakup.
A country apart.
Yeah. So Michael's drinking, watching TV at his place, and Sydney comes to pay a visit, and she has all of her stuff with her.
Hey, I'm moving in.
And
she's so chipper. I love it.
And Sydney's like, you know what? I was thinking to myself, Sid, you need a change. The sea air will do you some good. So I decided, hey, why not? You and I should move in together.
Mm-mm.
And Michael's like, Sydney, this is blackmail. And then Sydney's like, yeah, and what you did to Kimberly was murder.
Oh, got him. So then Michael gets up, grabs Sydney, and like, he just like looks at her, he's like, is this what you want? And he like rips her shirt open.
And she's digging it. She's like, oh, hell yeah, this is what I want.
Yeah. And then she like kind of undoes his shirt and she's like, do it. And I'm like, yes! I love them together.
The evil dream team is reuniting.
Do it. It's awesome.
So we're back to the boat. Reed and Joe are laying in bed, and Reed is sleeping. And Joe sneaks out of the bedroom and goes over to the CB radio. So she speaks into it.
And you ever seen Mr. Deeds?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Do you remember the butler played by John Turturro?
Yes, I do.
He was Emilio, ended up being like the heir to like the riches.
Yes.
But there's a bit in that movie where he would just appear places.
Yeah.
And like Adam Sandler would be like, "What the fuck? Where did you come from?" And like And like John Turturro is just like, I'm very, very sneaky, sir.
Yeah.
And like it kept happening. It kept happening throughout the movie. And like he did it again and he looks at Adam Sandler and he's like, sneaky, sneaky, sir.
Yeah.
And then like the last time, the last bit, he's like, I think you underestimate the sneakiness, sir. And that is Reed.
Right. So
he just appears.
Before that, Joe is on the CB radio when she's attempting to get into contact with somebody. Now, if someone gave me that piece of machinery and they were like, try to get in contact with somebody, I would have no idea what to do. Yeah. She's kind of going through the similar motions. She's got the radio up to her mouth. She's pushing lots of buttons and she's like, mayday, mayday, this is an emergency. Who Please says, help.
And who says mayday?
I have no idea.
Mayday, mayday, man overboard.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Breaker, breaker, 1-9. Just like saying shit.
So to your point, we all of a sudden see a shot of the radio and then a freaking axe comes down on the radio, literally destroying it and breaking it into two.
Sneaky, sneaky, sir.
So Joe is screaming and she tries to get away, but Reed grabs her and then socks her in the face. Yep. I mean, like punches her hard. She falls down the stairs backwards into the kitchen area where she then fumbles around on the counter and grabs a knife.
Then Reed comes down, is not even down the stairs, and he like fucking karate-sizes the knife out of her hand.
He kicks the knife out of her hand. And then my question is, where's the axe now? He uses an axe to break open the CB radio.
The axe had to be in the bedroom.
Well, but I'm saying like she's got a knife, he's got an axe.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter. Right. He could really do some damage to her with that.
But
he doesn't have that.
And in the shot when they're both sleeping, Reed is like shirtless. And he comes out of the bedroom like dressed fully.
So he got dressed.
He got dressed. When she got on that CB.
He was like, wait a minute, I got to put a shirt on.
Took him 3.5 seconds to get a shirt, pants, and boots on.
Yeah, he's ready for action.
He just springs into action. And this is, I mean, for Mel MP, we've seen some fighting, stage combat.
Yeah.
But this was a very choreographed, like,
and the kick,
tussle.
The knife, kicking the knife out of the hand was pretty weak.
Yeah, usually, like, someone will get punched or hit with a tire iron, and that's it. But this one had some seriously physical aspects.
So he takes control of Joe again, and of course puts her back into the cargo hold crawl space, and then he's like, you little bitch, you're so stupid, Joe. You're so stupid. So she's back in.
Now we're in New York again with Greg and Billy. And
they're walking on the streets of New York.
And Greg is saying some sexist ass shit. He's like, only women are allowed to be impulsive.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Have you met Billy?
This guy, Greg, is a freaking loser. Like,
big time.
Like, he and Billy are made for each other. So Billy's like, she means everything to me. I envy. And then,
like, Greg buys a hot dog and he's like spouting off all this sexist shit to Billy. And Billy he's basically now going back on his whole, like, we're done forever thing.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I need to marry her.
Okay, but first, Dan, he just sees this, like, vendor hawking some just junk.
If he's a vendor, he does not have a permit.
No, he doesn't have a permit. He's like just a dude with a table that has like a bunch of crap that nobody cares about on it.
He's in like African garb.
Yeah.
Like tribal sort of designs, print.
And Billy just randomly sees this guy and is like, oh, hey, you got any rings?
And he dumps out three rings, one of which it looks like it's like whalebone.
Yeah, and the other one, I think it's a skull. And then
Then another one is like a bottle opener. And he's like, that's it.
There's this like cheap ass gold, like gold. It's probably like fake gold. It's the all of these rings will turn your finger green, like for sure. And this is the ugliest piece of shit I've ever seen. It's like two, like they're diamond shapes, not diamonds. There's no gemstones, nothing like that, guys. It's just like two ornate diamond shapes together. And he sees this ring and he says, that's it. That's the one. Oh, really, Billy? That's the one? That's the ring you're going to propose to your girlfriend with? This freaking weird-ass guy on the side of the street in New York, the first choice of rings you see? That's it? Billy, you fucking suck. I'm sorry. I hate Billy so much right now. I hate him.
Oh, Billy, you're terrible, bro. You could have picked anything else. Anything else. You could have put a ring pop on her finger and she'd have been more appreciative.
Yeah, this is really bad. So next up, we're back to the boat and Reed is at the helm again and he's listening to some heavy rock metal.
Yeah, okay. Guys, here's where we need your help. Our musical analysis, we need to know what song was playing at this part because he hits the boombox. He starts like banging his head and then he's mouthing something. We know for a fact that this is not the right music that's playing at this point in time. One, because it's the most generic heavy metal we've ever heard. And two, our version, Reed is mouthing the lyrics to the song, but the song we're hearing has no lyrics. So we need our musical consultants to please let us know.
I feel like this is Enter Sandman.
You think so?
And tonight.
I think it's too fast.
We're off to Never Never Land. I really feel like that's what it is.
I don't know. Reed seems more of a like a Soundgarden guy.
Oh.
Black on sun.
Won't you come? That's way slow.
It's definitely metal because they used metal.
And wash away the rain, black old sun.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it's metal. It's got to be. So let us know, please.
So all the while, Joe is kicking the trap door and she finally gets it open. And she crawls out. She sees that Reed is on the deck and she's looking for a weapon, anything that she can, you know, try to combat Reed with. And he goes up to the front of the boat and she finds a harpoon hanging over the window. And when Reed is walking next to the window that she's in, she takes the harpoon and puts it straight through the window and knocks Reed off of the boat.
Right. And so Reed goes soaring into the water and like holds on to a buoy, I guess.
And you know what? This is like, there's a lot of things that have had to, like, had to have happened. I mean, Joe had to know that she had the strength to put that harpoon through that window because that's taking a really big chance.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a metal sharp object.
She's
just like, ugh.
It may not have been real glass, you know, because it's out on the water. It could have been like plexiglass or something that's it's harder to get. It just seemed like everything aligned that she was able to go through the window and then knock him off of the boat.
Yeah.
That was pretty lucky on her part.
So Reed, she thinks like, okay, Reed's off the boat. I'm going to try to drive this sucker. And she has no idea.
So she runs out of the cabin up into where the wheel is. And she tries to take it and go. She doesn't know how to work it. And then we see Reed hanging to a buoy, like you said, off of the boat. So he's not done with her yet. Amanda and Joe are at the marina. And they're filing a report with the police officer that the boat that Reed has is actually stolen. And the police officer is like, look, we don't have any report that a boat has been stolen. And we have to wait 2 more days to file a missing persons report.
Back to the boat. where things are getting out of control. Reed grabs a flare gun. He pulls himself up onto the boat that Joe is now trying to drive. You would think that all this time on the boat, Joe may know a thing or two.
About starting it?
About just starting like, it, like just hanging out with Reed.
She has no idea.
She has no fucking clue. So Reed is behind her, grabs her foot, and like pulls her.
How does she get the gun? He has a flare gun, but she gets the real gun.
Yeah, she finds the shotgun.
Is it up where she's driving?
I guess so, yeah. I guess Reed had it up there.
She somehow finds the gun, and she aims it at Reed. And Reed is like, there's no way. You can't. You don't have it in you, Joe.
You don't have it in you, Joe.
Just taunting her.
And then Joe fucking fires.
Kaboom. Gets him right in the gut. And he's there on the deck. He's bleeding out. He has the flare gun still in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking this is the most opportune time. He could aim it right at Joe and shoot it, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
So that, I wonder if he even intended on hurting Joe in any, well, he did hurt Joe, but killing her in any way.
I think he just was grabbing onto whatever he could to fire at her.
So Joe sees Reed there bleeding, and she's like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'll get help. I'm sorry, Reed. No. And then Reed just looks at her, and does he say something?
I think he says he's sorry.
Yeah, and he dies right then and there.
And let's just stop. Joe fucking killed somebody.
Yeah, but it was self-defense, for sure.
Yeah.
Who knows what he would have done if he would have gotten her?
Joe is one tough cookie.
She is.
She don't play around. And she has been...
She's been through a lot.
She's been tormented. Her ex came from New York and, like, tried to beat her up.
Yeah.
And then Jake, like, destroyed her fridge. The one guy tried to grab her at the biker bar.
There's a lot of shit has gone down with her.
She's gotten arrested for having a gun in her purse.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's been some tough calls. And she's the first Melrose Place tenant to murder somebody on purpose.
I was going to say, there's Michael. He murdered Kimberly.
But not on purpose.
Okay, so we're back at Melrose Place. Amanda's going into her apartment, and we see Billy sneaking around.
Why?
And he's got all of his stuff. He's got suitcases, and he just like sneaks over to Jane's apartment.
Just lets himself in.
And Jane's haircut looks really cute. I like it.
And Jane's like, Billy, what are you doing here? He's like, I quit escapades.
Yeah, I'm back.
Billy is the most impulsive dude.
I hate him.
Why would you quit? So
as he's dialing Allison's phone number, he's dialing the number and he's like, you have to tell Allison that you need to see her tonight and it's an emergency. And basically just shoves the phone into Jane's face and is like, tell her now.
And Jane's just like, okay, well. Hey, Allison.
This is a jerk-ass move. You couldn't wait 5 minutes to just get into Jane's house and explain the situation?
No.
Billy sucks. I hate him so much.
See? Thank you. Welcome aboard.
I mean, especially in these latest episodes, he sucks. I just cannot stand him.
So, Allison, of course, agrees to meet Jane tonight. And then we head over to the hospital, and we're in the break room again. And this looks like
Dan. We're not first. First, we go to the reception area where all of these doctors and nurses are coming up to Michael. The first one is like, doctor, you're a lucky guy. And he's like, oh, thanks. And then Michael gives her files, and she's like, I'll go file these, but... Man, Michael, you're the luckiest man. What a personality. And I don't have to tell you, she's absolutely gorgeous. We all know that you needed somebody after Kimberly's death and just so happy that you found her. And then Michael's starting to get wise on what's going on. And he's like, Karen, where is she now? Oh, I think she's in the break room. So Michael's like, thanks so much. And he turns away from her and you can see the anger start to build up in his face. And we then cut to the break room.
Mm-hmm. And Sid is just on the table, surrounded by male doctors, like laughing and gawking at her. It's very reminiscent of like World War II,
like 1950s movies where
like military guys like just like swooning over some like hot like milkmaid,
like pinup girl somewhere, yeah. And she's like, and everyone's just enchanted by her.
Yeah. And then Michael's like, all right, everybody, break it up. Yep, ain't she great? Thanks, guys.
And then she's like, bye, fellas. And then after everybody leaves, Michael's like, what the hell are you doing?
And look, there's way worse things than Sid being your girlfriend.
I know. You know? I just kind of feel like you need to give in. Like,
now that you're divorced to Jane, Kimberly's dead.
You've got nothing else in your life. This one, like, she's really, everyone seems to love her at work.
Yeah. This could be a fresh start for you, Michael. And I mean, she's beautiful. She was one of the top 10 gorgeous prostitutes in Los Angeles. I mean, and this could be great for you, bud.
She's like, I'm just introducing myself around. And then he's like, yeah, as what? And she's like, well, it depends on who I'm talking to. Sometimes as your girlfriend, sometimes as, you know, the person that's living with you. And then he is really upset. And she's like, are you ashamed of me, Michael? Because that would be really bad for you if you were ashamed of me. And he's like, Sydney, how far are you going to take this? She thinks for a moment and then plants a kiss on his cheek. And
like on his neck.
Yeah. And then she's like, I got to run. See you later. Yeah. So again, we don't know what her end game is. Neither does Michael. And it's just like he's got to play along and just kind of be complicit in this whole craziness.
So let's head back to the pretty lady, the Coast Guard. It's nighttime. And it looks like the Coast Guard is now driving up to the boat. To Reed's boat, and they board it, and Joe is just huddled up in fear and like under duress,
clutching the gun. She's just sitting in a corner of the cabin, and the Coast Guard is kind of searching the boat. I guess they came across a boat that looked like it was in distress, and they find Joe and they're like, are you okay? What's going on here? And then you hear another member of the Coast Guard saying, we've got a dead white male Caucasian here on the deck. And then
so they pull their guns.
Yeah. And they're like, did you shoot that man? And she's like, yes, yes, I did. And they're like, get up. You're under arrest.
And they like lock her up. She's sort of resisting at first.
Well, I think because she's in shock.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, she killed somebody. She has no idea how to get in touch with anybody and no idea how to drive the boat. I mean, luckily, the conditions are nice. The weather's not bad. And they just had lobster. So you can assume that they probably have, you know, some food on board, mm-hmm. and water. She could survive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's not happy. And
she's real shaken up. We leave them. And all we know is that she's now under arrest and in custody of the Coast Guard. Now we cut to Allison headed to her snazzy-ass dinner.
Yeah, so she thinks that her and Jane are just going to talk, and she even makes a comment that's like, wow, Jane, we had to come all the way downtown just to talk. I hope you're paying, because this is a really snazzy place.
Who says that?
And then the host is like, oh, hi, greets them, and then Jane just turns around and walks away.
Yeah.
And Allison just looks at her, and then the host is like, are you Allison Parker? And she's like, yeah. But if I were Allison, I would be like, oh, excuse me one second. I would have run after Jane and been like, excuse me, where are you going? Hello, Jane.
Yeah, don't you want to talk?
Yeah, that was so weird. I wouldn't have let Jane just walk away. Or at least Jane could say, I've really got to use the bathroom. I'll be right back. Or something weird. I just thought that this was very strange. But Allison does go with the host, and he leads her to a table where Billy is seated in a tuxedo.
And he looks like shit.
Yeah, he rented some ill-fitting tux from some place, and he's waiting for her, and it's just like, oh God, this sucks.
And they're talking about like compatibility and what is compatible. And it's like, man, I just don't believe that this could happen, because they were completely done. If this were real life, I feel like Allison would just see him and be like, goodbye.
Right. But she's not. She gives him the time of day, and Billy's like, look, Allison, I can't spend another day without you in it.
And she's like, you can't afford this.
Right. She's like, I know for a fact you don't have the money to pay for this dinner and this tux you got. She even says that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you were in, like, this children's blanket, like, 16 hours ago.
And then, yeah, you're right. She's like, Billy, what if we're not compatible? And he's like, who is compatible these days? And it's like, Billy, lots of people are compatible.
Jesus.
Lots of people that marry each other get along, and they don't fight every 5 minutes, and they get along with one another. You and Allison are not working.
No. But no, that doesn't matter, because he asked her to marry
him. For Dan, he's like, just drink your champagne and it'll all become perfectly clear. Ugh. And she's like, what are you talking about? And she looks down.
Watch out for the sharp object in there.
Little pieces of fake gold have probably fallen off and risen to the top of your champagne.
Watch out for the shrapnel.
She looks in, and the ring, he's tied a string to it, and it's coming like kind of draped off of the top of the glass, mm-hmm. but the ring is inside of the champagne. So she picks it up, takes the string, pulls it out, and she sees the ring, and that's when Billy gets on one knee. He says, this has all become perfectly clear to me in a blinding flash. And he's like, I want you to be my partner. And she's like, a blinding flash? Really? He's like, yes, this was very well thought out. And I just want to be like, Billy, you are such a liar. I want to wring your freaking neck. Nothing was thought out about this. You were walking on the streets of New York.
Eating a hot dog.
Just saw the first guy hawking some bullshit. And you were like, do you have any rings? And you got the best ring of four that you saw that looks like crap. You probably paid $4 for that piece of shit. And now you flew there and coerced Jane into helping you. And this probably all transpired within a matter of 24 hours. So for him to say that this was all well thought out, I just want to punch him in the face. I hate him so much.
Billy, you gone off the deep end, brother.
I want you to be my partner. Will you marry me?
And it just ends on Allison's face like, What?
what do I do? And that's the end of the episode.
Cliffhanger! So let's recap it.
Sydney moves in with Michael.
Reed is dead.
Billy and Allison reconcile and then break up again. And then Billy asks her to marry him.
Joe was near death and gets arrested.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Michael and Sid get busy.
Oh, yeah, they're moving in together. And
yeah.
Yeah.
90s moments.
Buying a physical newspaper with only a few coins.
Yep.
Hard to do.
To piggyback off the newspaper, how about all those clippings on the corkboard?
Yeah.
She had to go through a lot of papers to find all of those stories.
Really, physical papers. Yeah. I wonder, did she do like microfiche or something to like locate them and then got copies? That would have taken a lot of time to figure that out. It's not like she could do a quick Google search and like print them out. She had to physically locate those papers and cut them out.
Just dedicate it.
That's like freaking stalker level 5. That's a lot.
You got anything else?
Yeah, boarding a flight and then mysteriously getting off. I think that if you were to do something like that today, that there would be a lot more repercussions. Like, people might want to interview you. Why would you board and then, like, leave off in a state of panic or duress?
Yeah.
Like, I think that that whole concept, basically, when you board a flight and you're on, you're... If you you're just on.
If
leave,
they shut the cabin doors, you're that's
just,
a wrap.
I just feel like if you just left and like, I'm sorry, I have to go, they would be like, okay, no, it's not as easy as that. Why are you leaving? We need to search everything. Did you leave something on the aircraft? I just feel like post 9/11, there would be a lot more questions and a lot more processes. I'm sure that you can get off of an airplane last minute if you did not want to go. But I just think that you'd have to answer to some people as to why you were doing that.
Yeah, agree.
The Howard Stern reference. They were, he and Greg were talking about how Greg watches too much Howard Stern in New York.
Yep. I got the boombox on Reed's boat.
Yeah, that was my last one.
And Sydney's choker.
I'm making a comeback.
She's rocking that choker.
Dan, what's your lesson that you get out of this episode?
Lesson here, guys, is don't attempt to use a CB radio unless you know how to use it. Like, that should have never been Joe's first attempt at rescue. Grab something, you have no idea how it works.
I agree.
Hit buttons and change the tune on it and say, Mayday, Mayday.
Stupid.
Fucking dumb, man.
My lesson is really similar to yours. Comply with your kidnapper. If she just would have complied and played along, nothing would have befallen her. She would not have gotten into any problems. Once they got to Mexico and got on land,
peace.
Then run away, then figure it out. Why are you doing this on a boat where literally something goes wrong? No one can hear you and you just get thrown overboard and that's it.
Yeah.
You're done. It just seems so risky for what? I feel like you've got to really, of course, every situation is different, especially if you are kidnapped, God forbid. Mm-hmm. But I just think you go along with what the kidnapper wants. And when you see that window of opportunity, you should take it, but make sure that you know what the hell you're doing.
True.
So I'm like, I'm on it.
Is that it for lessons?
That's it. That's all of our lessons. Now it's time for
Bitch of the Week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch, bitch.
Okay, bitch, last week. Bitch, I said that Billy was the bitch of the week, and Jenny, you said that Amanda was the bitch of the week, and we have a split decision on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook said that Billy was the bitch of the week, 12-2. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then Twitter, however, said that Amanda was the bitch of the week. 63% to 38%. So if you combine those, though,
it's 50-50.
Billy's the bitch of the week.
Ah.
So I win again.
Who's your bitch this week?
This week, my bitch of the week is Reed. Reed is a bad kidnapper. He's terrible. He is so back and forth with how he is treating his kidnappy. You can't kidnap somebody, throw him in a trap door, then pull him back up, and then be like, go get me a drink. Like, then you can't pitch like your life together afterwards. You can't sleep in the same bed with them, then throw him back down in the trap fucking door. And I mean, like, you have no consistency with your level of treatment, so you have no idea where their head's at. If you want to play good cop, play good cop the whole time. If you're going to play bad cop, keep her in the fucking trap door the whole time. You don't have any of these problems. But you are such a bitch, and you kick like a bitch, too. That knife kick.
Yeah, that was weak.
That was real weak. And you had a, your death was weak too. You got shot and then just like, I'm sorry. You greasy, slimy little bitch. And for not that much money, it's like a duffel bag full of loot. It's not a lot. But you're a bitch. You axed your CB radio. So you played yourself there because now you can't even use it. And yeah, man, you just can't make a decision on whether how to treat her. So you're a bitch.
Thank you, Dan. You know, going over this recap with you and just talking about everything, I've changed my tune on who I selected for the bitch originally. I know that we've said this many episodes, but I have to go with Billy Campbell. I have to. I cannot stand him. Everything that he's done this episode, and we've pointed out a lot of these things, saying initially he wasn't on a date, then using it in the fight, saying he's so great he could get a date. The way that they broke up, saying how wonderful he is and how funny and smart and good looking and attractive and sought after he is. It's like, ew, how, like, fine, if you're that great, go and live your own life and do your own thing. Then thinking that he could just order all of Allison's stuff to just be packed up without even consulting her, and then putting that job on Jake. I know he didn't offer to pay him.
Hell no.
That is a bitchy thing to do to your friend, to say, oh yeah, I don't know what you're doing this week, but go into Allison's apartment and pack up all of her stuff. How dare you ask someone to do that? And then the whole deal about how he acquired the ring and how he's like, wow, this was so well planned and thought out. I mean, if Dan, you proposed to me with that ring, I would throw up in your face. I'm sorry. That's horrible. That is horrible. Everything he did, the way that he coerced Jane into being complicit in this whole plan, barging into her apartment, dialing the number as he was demanding about what she had to do for him. It's all about me, 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 me. I'm Billy, and it's all about me, and I'm a child, and it's the id playing out. I have no, even like, other people's thoughts and feelings just aren't even on his radar. He does not even care. So, I mean, I think it's obvious. He is the biggest bitch of this episode. He is the bitch of the week. Please, Allison, say no. So, this episode was entitled Swept Away. Daniel, what would you call this episode?
I got two.
Ooh, lay 'em on me.
I got... my first one is, it's a no for me.
I like it.
Like,
please, Allison, heed that advice.
Yeah, if you all have seen American Idol.
It's a no for me.
It's a no for me. That's what Allison should say to Billy. It's a no. And then my other one, it ties into the same thing. Indecent proposal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because this was ill-conceived.
Agreed, 100%. Mine is taking the plunge, because little Reed took a plunge into the ocean and Billy decided to take the plunge and pop the question.
Nice.
So, predictions. What do you think is going to happen in upcoming episodes?
I think Michael is going to start to enjoy his arrangement with Sydney, and it's just going to be all gravy. All gravy. And I think that this death of Reed brings Joe and Jake closer. I think he's going to help her through this little rehab that she'll need. And I think that Allison is going to say no. I hope she says no. Do not marry Billy.
Dan, I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think Allison is going to say yes.
Oh, God.
Because she's put on the spot. She doesn't know what else to do. But I think she's going to get cold feet in future episodes. So we'll have that kind of dichotomy of like him being like, isn't this great? We're getting married. And then her kind of backing away and being like, I can't do it. Just to add to the drama. I think I agree with you about Sydney and Michael. I think she's going to take this Michael thing a lot further, probably even trying to get him to marry her. And I think he is going to like it. I think it's going to get to a point where he's like, oh, we're like one in the same. We're so well matched. You talk about compatibility. Yeah, you know what? Billy, there are two people that are compatible, and their names are Michael and Sydney.
Boom.
They are evil little monsters, and they belong together. And then I think that Jane has got to come in. I think that there's going to be more storylines for Jane. She's kind of been an afterthought. Really, nothing's like going on with her, so I hope to see her in future episodes. And I think, too, that there's going to be a lot of problems with Joe now that she's taken somebody's life. I don't know if that's going to spin her out of control, but I think we're going to see Joe really breaking down in the next couple of episodes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of the episode, guys. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Melrose Pod. We have a Facebook group that you can get into. Just go into our show notes and or just search for us on Facebook, Melrose Place Podcast, and the group is linked to our Facebook page. And we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and the Stitcher. And we're on Patreon. If you feel like it, you want to contribute to the podcast, help this thing grow, you can donate $1 a month, and that unlocks several quickie episodes and all the good stuff.
We love smut.
And we love you.